Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday on the Men in Line today. Well, as at 5 o'clock yesterday in the Isle of Man, there'd been 37,067 tests, 37,066 of which have been concluded. That was one person waiting for a result and 210 people waiting for tests. 87 new cases yesterday. That's 506 cases on the Isle of Man. We have 6 people in hospital at the moment. And the vaccination board looks like this. Total number of vaccinations, 27,489, 18,206 first dose administered, 9,283 second dose administered, and we're holding 10,182 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. That's where we stand. And of course, now the government has a brand new plan, a long-term exit approach outlined by the Council of Ministers. 3 stages: preparation, transition, and release. And we'll talk more about that. And if you have any opinions on where we're going to get to, we appreciate it. Mark's with us, first of all, on the Man in Line. Hello, Mark.
Andy, afternoon, fella. How you doing?
Well, good, thank you. Yes.
Excellent. Andy, I'm a bit confused about something. I like to think of myself as a reasonably intelligent sort of person, but something recently happened that I'm a bit confused about. Now, can you correct me on this? If my wife went across to visit her relatives, she would have to self-isolate when she came back.
Yeah.
So we're up to over 500 cases now, positive cases. We've got 6 in hospital. My brain is telling me that a lot of these cases will have been people who've gone across to visit relatives and loved ones, come back and not self-isolated.
What they're saying, though, is a lot of these cases go back to the steam packet case, the person on the steam packet who got the virus and spread it also. They've not been very clear about how it's approached. They keep on saying it can be traced back. We don't know whether it was some of the gigs that younger people went to at the Hydro, whether the schools are now incubating or were incubating it. We're not that sure. Why? What's your point?
Well, the point I'm trying to make is recently, I think it was last week or the week before, Manx Radio and the Manx Alamann papers put out a series of places. There was Java, there was the Mona Lisa and Tesco's, where certain individuals had been doing shopping and what have you. Now, if this individual has come back to the Isle of Man and has gone blithely about their daily life, going shopping and going to coffee shops, they've not self-isolated. So my question is, why have the police not arrested these people?
A lot of people are asking that, Mark, in that they were quite quick off the mark last summer, weren't they, to jail people?
I mean, there was a couple of cases last year. My one particular was the welders. They came to the Isle of Man, and okay, they 4 of them ignored the rules. One of them just sat in the van. But all 5 went to prison. Now, we've got people coming back from the UK who are moved to the island, because of, you know, it's safe and it's secure and it's a lovely place to live. I mean, are these people abiding by our rules or are they just ignoring them?
It will be interesting to know. I mean, what's your gut reaction, Mark?
My gut reaction is that there's a lot of people who are coming to the island to live who are basically just popping backwards and forwards every other weekend and are just ignoring the rules. And I think Gary Roberts, he was spot on the other day when he said that the police needed vaccination, that they needed to be put to the front of the queue. And I 100% back him on that. But he needs to get his officers out there to find out who these people are that are getting off the steam packet in their UK-registered cars and just going about their business as if everything is normal, because it's not. And by getting to the stage of 500 cases, that is getting out of control, Andy.
Okay. Mark, we'll see. An interesting point you raised. Thanks for calling us today. Doug's with us. Hello, Doug. Doug, how are you, Doug?
I'm very well, thank you. And totally different subject. A plea to dog owners. Yet again, every year this sort of thing is happening. My wife and I live alongside the Sulby River, and we walked across the Atlantic and found a dead female duck. Now, this was clearly a dog that had attacked this duck and killed it, and it was half eaten. Now, there's a number of salient points on this. The ducks are laying from right from the end of January, and mostly in February and March, but they can go on through right till July. But if somebody's near the river and they see a male duck on its own, that is almost invariably a sign that that duck is on nest guard duty. Somewhere within the close proximity, there'll be a female duck on the nest. And I'm guessing that this is precisely what happened at the weir on the Sulby Atlantic, because ducks have been nesting there year on year. Furthermore, baby ducks, once hatched, take between 50 and 60 days before they fledge. So they're still extremely vulnerable for all that time. So it is a plea to dog owners to be aware that their livestock is in danger. A couple of years ago, I bowled a woman out, quite literally. I couldn't see her, but her dog was in the river and grabbed a duck. And anyway, she got on the phone, and my wife answered, playing stink with my wife, and said, "Oh, I've lived in the country all these years." She may have lived in the country all these years, but she does not understand or even care about the wildlife. So, you know, people really do need to take care.
How much of a recurring theme is this, Doug?
Every year, almost. Every single year. I have a friend who lives in Union Mills who, at no small expense, bought two beautiful black swans for his wife as a present a few years ago. Both of those black swans were killed by irresponsible dog owners. It just goes on and on. Ever since we arrived here, which is over 40, nearly 50 years ago, there were water hens on the water. Somebody came up from the Atlantic with a Labrador and two Spaniels, clearly killed the water hens, and we've really not seen any since, and that was about 10 years ago. So this is a continuous problem every year. It's all right, people saying, "Oh, my dog's well controlled, it's well trained," but the minute you let them off the lead, they're gone. And this is what altogether too often happens.
Are you sure? I mean, Doug, this is not. Are there any predators to ducks? Are there any bird predators?
Yes, there are always predators. But the way this duck had been, there was near the weir, there was a patch of ground with old blood on it. And then it had been taken off, the dead duck had been taken off into the Atlantic area more. But we have seen this, as I say, for many, many years. We've had to stop children throwing stones at ducks, and it really is appalling. The dogs may be well trained, but it's the owners that need the training.
Okay. Doug, thanks for calling us today. We're happy to put that point out concerning dog control and the season that it is for ducks and ducklings as well. Paul now on the Man in Line. Hello, Paul.
Hello, good morning to you. I'm afraid to resurrect the COVID-19 situation, but as such, I managed to get registered last week, having received a letter for the vaccination, and was quite pleased to get a call yesterday asking me to go for vaccination and giving me the times and dates. Towards the end of the conversation, the operator said, "But I'll send you an email to confirm it, but a lot of the emails are going to spam. Please check your spam." Now, there seems to have been some communications between government, some communication issues between government and other agencies recently, and it doesn't seem to be on technology these days that Manx government liaises with 111 call centre referrals just to ensure that the emails confirming people's appointments don't go to spam. They are very important emails.
Okay, so, I mean, what does the person who's getting the email have to do then? Just continually check spam?
Indeed, but, I mean, normally my emails come through on my Outlook, and I don't actually go into the webpage of Manx, of Manx.net to check the spam. It was only because they said most of our emails are going through, or a lot are going through to spam. And it just seemed to me these emails come from 111 call centre referrals, 111 at gov.in. Now, I believe that Manx Telecom can authorise emails from particular sources. And if there was some liaison, these important emails would come straight through to people rather than spam. My point is not to take up a lot of your time, but just to say that Manx Telecom, if there's anybody listening, should be able to ensure that call referral centre at 111.gov.im should not be put into spam. And my point is that these emails, Manx Telecom surely have the ability for them not to go into spam.
OK. All right, Paul, thanks for clearing that up.
OK. And I don't know if you have any way that you can liaise or make this aware to Manx Telecom that these emails are going to spam and something should be done. OK, thanks.
Thanks for calling us today. We'll drop a note to Manx Telecom, and if Manx Telecom are listening, they always are, then if you could do that, that would be terrific. Now, the long-term exit approach has been outlined by the Council of Ministers. You may have heard the story yesterday. Everything was happening in Tynwald. The document outlines three key stages: preparation, transition and release, that the Council of Ministers expects to move through as the vaccine rollout increases our defences as well. Underpinning it is a set of objectives to support the decision process over the coming months. Well, already I'm going cross-eyed about this, so there's only one person to explain it. Ewan Corn from the Manx Radio newsroom has been poring over this for the past 18 hours. Can you make sense of this, Ewan? What's exactly going to happen?
Oh, exactly. That's probably the big word. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but this sets out how government is hoping to change the way it deals with coronavirus. So let's to make that clear to people, at the moment they're trying to eliminate coronavirus on the Isle of Man.
That's first things first.
Yeah, get rid of it.
They'd always said it was, what did they say, elimination. Now they're talking about mitigation.
So that's basically moving to what you might term the new normal, which is basically accepting that coronavirus is going to be part of our lives for years to come. And how are we going to deal with that?
Years?
Well, I mean, we've got flu, haven't we? It's just, you know, how is it going to be dealt with once the population has been vaccinated? What impact will having a vaccine mean when there's different variants going around? Does that mean we might have to have a winter booster program, perhaps, as the virus mutates? Surveillance testing to ensure there's no, you know, there's no dangerous outbreaks going on, that are out of control. It's really how we move from this position now where we're locking down and we're trying to protect the hospital from being overrun. How do we move from that position to one where, you know, mitigation or living with the virus?
They talked about vaccination milestones expected over the next few months. What are those?
So the critical ones come between May and August. So by the end of May, it's expected all adults will have been offered their first dose. By the end of June, all in the priority one group, so those are the, you know, those of a certain age and critically extremely vulnerable, they all have received their second dose, so they'll have their full level of protection. So basically, by the end of summertime, we should have the entire adult population have been offered a vaccine. It's important to make that distinction because some people won't take a vaccine for different reasons. And then September is the date they're giving whereby the population will have that defence inbuilt and borders could be open. But of course, that depends on the UK. Is their situation under control, and the global situation as well?
Practically, to the person on the street, the person listening now, at what point, I mean, what are the big milestones? By what date do we think life is going to be coming back to any sort of normality?
Well, September is the estimate. And that's, as I said, that's with the vaccination defence in place. They're calling it defence. They like to talk in these sort of war terms. The defence in place and the UK infection rate, hopefully having fallen. And also the UK population of having had vaccines as well.
4.5 months then before we can get back to some sort of normality.
Well, to caveat, again, these are estimates. And really, when you ask what does this mean to people, it probably doesn't mean an awful lot until these things actually happen and we actually pass these months and these milestones to see whether we've met them.
So no Southern 100, no Manx Grand Prix, no Festival of Motorcycling, no Southern 100, as I say, no local elections. You're obviously a man who looks at the democratic process very carefully. We've got Keys elections in September.
Well, and maybe that's a guiding a thought behind this. I mean, delaying a local authority election is not great for the democratic process.
Twice.
We've got commissioners and councillors who probably served some of the longest terms in the history of local authorities, although many of them, of course, go uncontested, I should say, and walk in. But I think it's a different kettle of fish to delay a House of Keys election. That is our primary legislature, and I think we should be safe by then, touch wood.
Well, life goes on. Ewan, thanks for being with us today. It's good to talk to you, as always. 23 minutes past 12 on The Man in the Line on Manx Radio. Here's Tony. Hello, Tony.
How are you doing?
Hey, hi, Tony.
All right. I just want to make a comment that the discussion we're having now about getting back to normality and our roadmap out of lockdown, et cetera, is ludicrous. The government always does this. They talk about something else when they've got an existing problem they don't want to talk about, which is what they're doing right now. We have a situation where loads of people have got COVID-19 because of their ineptitude. So instead of telling us what they're doing about that, they want to talk about something else. We're not nowhere near ready to even think about getting out of the situation of, right, we can take the borders down, etc., etc., until they start dealing with the problem they have. The problem they have is they don't know where the virus is. The director of public health came on the other day and said, well, we don't want to test everybody because we've got to limit how many tests we do. We have to save those for somebody. And the whole remit that they're using as their so-called protocol, which will always save us, according to the director of health, is that we test people when we know they've got the virus. In other words, they've got the symptoms, so we'll test them. But we don't test the ones that might not have the symptoms because they're asymptomatic. And those are the people that spread it. The idea that all this came from the steam packet is just ludicrous. They had asymptomatic cases and they didn't know where they were because they don't test anybody. So they only test if you've got symptoms, which is how they chase the virus around the Isle of Man. And when it gets out of control, as it has now, they have no idea what to do. So I just want to, the conversation needs to go back to what we're doing now and what we should be doing, like wearing masks and socially distance. And also, if you think you might have been in contact with somebody, give us a call. But the point is, they don't test them if you might have been in contact, only if you've got symptoms. Their protocols are wrong. And that's on the basis of, we don't know where it is.
How long do you think this is going to go on, then, by your estimation?
Probably. It'll go on longer than the last time. I think it's going to be 4 or 5 weeks before we see any reductions, because they're not testing who they should be testing, because they've got this idea that, well, it'll show up and then we'll know where it is. But then they don't tell anybody where it is. It's appalling. We have less information than we had the first time, because we don't tell you if there are low areas of threat. They should tell us where all of the outbreaks have been. Last time they actually gave us postcodes where everybody had been. But we don't get anything like that this time, because they're too busy talking about something they haven't done yet.
Do you think that we're going to be back to normality by September, Tony?
Well, I would hope so, because the main thing then is you've vaccinated a vast majority of people. So there will still be people out there with COVID-19, but the impact will be almost minuscule compared to what it is now. Because at that point, they won't be able to tell you to stay home and lock down because I've been immunised. So you can still get COVID. And you can still pass it on. But the issue would be the net amount of people going to the hospital will be a lot less.
Which has always been their mantra has always been protecting the health service then.
Agreed. But the point is they've now lost sight of that, because they're not protecting the health service because the numbers in the hospital are going up because they're not testing the right people.
Okay. All right,
Every
Tony.
Every time they get a location that says, right, anybody who's been here in these time frames needs to get logged in for a test, and then we'll find out who of you is asymptomatic. But they're not doing that because we're saving tests.
Tony, you're not standing for keys in September, are you?
I'll tell you what, they wouldn't know what had hit them if I stood.
Thanks. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for calling us. Good to talk to you. Chris, on the man in line. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andy. Yeah, I phoned over a fortnight ago explaining what the emails were going through to spam, and you didn't seem to click with you on that day, but I've actually phoned Manx Telecom the day after, and they didn't know why it was happening. So there you go. Everybody's, you know, in a bit of a stupor at the moment, aren't they?
They didn't know why it was happening.
No, no. I think this guy was working from home, so I don't know if he was in full contact with the rest of the Manx Telecom, but he didn't seem to know what was going on. So there you go.
So we've not yet heard from this. Does it surprise you, then, that this is continuing? Because, as you said, if you phoned in a fortnight ago...
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah.
So this is the answer, then, that a lot of the emails they think are going to the people are just going into spam folders.
Well, that's what I assume, yes, yeah.
Okay. All right, Chris. Thanks for calling us. It's 28 minutes past 12, the man in line on Manx Radio. It's all happening. The exit strategy is getting ready. September could be absolutely fine, but then again, you never know.
Following the government announcement on construction, the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company is only available for emergency repair to key infrastructure buildings. If we can help you with telephone advice about your own garage doors or gates, give us a call. We're here to help. When we can resume full operation, we look forward to servicing and dealing with all your needs. Please stay safe and follow the government guidelines. Any updates will be posted on our Facebook page. Thank you from Team, the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company.
KPMG in the Isle of Man is committed to making a better world for us to live, work and thrive in. KPMG Impact brings together an experienced network of professionals from firms in the Crown Dependencies and beyond to address the biggest issues facing our planet and to deliver industry-leading practices, research and trusted client solutions. If your business wants to develop in sustainability, finance or ESG assurance and reporting, visit kpmg.co.im/impact.
Now it's ShopRite. You can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
To Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's time train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember tipped weights, opal fruits or jamboree bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the time train with Isle of Man Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Roger. Hello, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just following on and in relation to the vaccine invitations and spam emails, my situation was I'm 70 plus group, and I eventually received my invitation letter on Monday. That'll been snarled up somewhere along the line with lots of others, something to do with the software, we're told, from the surgeries to the DHSC. However, I did get it on Monday. I then had the option, which said on the letter, to go online. The online service was kept breaking down, but eventually I did get through. I accepted the invitation online, and then in return, and purely by chance, I'd had a reply acknowledgement from the 111 to acknowledge receipt of my online confirmation. They gave me a reference number and said they would be in touch shortly with a date and a time. Still waiting for that. But so like I said, I just noticed by chance it was in my junk email as opposed to spam. But I do remember some years ago with Manx Telecom, they had an option. If you had things in your spam folder, you had an option, and I remember two of those options was blacklist one, which i.e. was spam, or whitelist it, which told the Manx Telecom or whatever the system is, told him it was actually, you know, accepted and genuine mail, and you didn't want it spam. That's now stopped. And when I queried it maybe 2-3 years ago now with the Manx Telecom, they could give me no reason other than they don't do that anymore. So up till now, I said, well, how can I ensure in the future that something coming in is no longer spam? And they said, well, if you move it to your inbox enough times, eventually the system will recognize that it's not spam.
Oh, it gets the message.
Yeah, sure. But I don't know why they've got rid of the earlier things. There was 4 or 5 other options, but the two that stick in my mind was blacklist or whitelist. And that was so simple. But that option is no longer there. And like lots of other people, every day now, 3 or 4 times a day, I'm just checking my junk email and looking for this invite from 111 to give me a date and a time.
Okay, Roger.
Okay, thanks very much.
To you 27 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock on a note in from Michael just says, thank you. I've just found my vaccination email in my spam folder. Well, happy to help. For context, by the way, where we are with the cases, we had 377 cases of COVID in the Isle of Man in 2020. We had 60 more cases up to the 17th of February, 515 cases since the 17th of February. 952 total cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. Currently, 506 active and 6 people in the hospital. Lots of messages to get through as well. Regarding Tommy yesterday, Tommy called about the why we should have fewer politicians, considering the number of the population and what have you. 80,000 on the Isle of Man, ish, and 24 MHKs, 64 million in the UK. By, if you extend that Westminster, by our calculation, would have 19,500 MPs rather than 600. A note in from Wynne, who says, steam packet, whether their staff complied with direction notice, the extract from the letter on the 1st of March, which you published, said merely they complied with the protocols. But the protocols presumably were drafted by the company, might not have been in accordance with the direction notice. Indeed, had the protocols been in accordance with the direction notice, well. What do you think about this fly tipping, by the way, at Erie Cushlin as well? And because the tips, the immunity sites are closed, why are lots of people, well, I say lots of people, too many people, are fly-tipping around the Isle of Man? The Middle River Amenity Site was open last lockdown. Why not this one as well? All amenity sites are closed at the moment. If you're stuck with something that's broken in the house, maybe it's a fridge, television or anything else, you obviously can't get rid of it because they're not closed. And if you live in a flat and something breaks, could be a washing machine, tumble dryer, anything, and you just want to get rid of it, then obviously that's been going to be causing problems. What do you think? Do you think we should reopen the amenity sites or maybe a collection service, even if you have to pay for it? If you're stuck with a broken television, fridge, tumble dryer, anything at home, and you want to get rid of it, how do you get rid of it? Renee, hello, Renee.
Hello, just saying, with emails, if you put an address into your contacts, it won't go into spam.
It will go into spam?
It won't.
Oh, it won't. Okay.
Yeah, so you have a list of contact addresses.
Okay, so put your if you put it,
it won't go in.
Okay. Oh, thank you for clearing that up. That's good. Good to hear.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us today. Good to hear from you. Back to the emails as well. A note in from Ray, who just said, Andy, the Manx government over the last 12 months has pumped millions of pounds into individuals and businesses to prop up the economy, rightly so. But it would appear the first attempt to claw back some of the outlay is through increasing the tax that motorists pay annually to keep vehicles on the road. I would suggest a more palatable source of revenue would be achieved by offering 49% of the steam packet as shares to Manx residents. The first offering, first to be offered a shareholding, will be their employees. They could be part of a share save scheme, similar to many other companies. It would give people a sense of being part of the business rather than just an employee. Other shareholdings could be for Manx residents, limited to prevent any individual becoming a major shareholder. Just an idea. Float, get it? The steam packet. Sell 49% of the shares and raise some money. Thank you for that, Ray. It's a good one. We can travel by September being put across as good news. We've been stuck here now for over a year. Telling me another 6 months, stuck here the whole summer is far from good news. Get the vaccines done as soon as possible, says Jamie. Get the borders open. We'll be conditioned to accept this. If we'd been told last March we wouldn't been able to go off the island till September, we'd have gone crazy. 18 months it's going to be. Well, it is 18 months, just 4 months from now as well. Terry said, I read in the paper yesterday there are 500 people waiting for driving tests. I do hope the driving examiners take into account that some of these people have had their driving lessons interrupted 3 times in the last 12 months. The driving test examiners. Yes, I see what you mean. Very difficult at the moment for driving instructors. Of course, a few driving instructors disappeared out of the business last year as well. I'm hoping the web's going to be okay and give a good internet access as well. At the moment, says James as well. This is a new strain, says this correspondent. It's easier to catch. It's been announced and explained in the news many times. It's not people travelling, it's just a different strain. And I find it very disappointing that hardly anyone is wearing a face covering at this time. In January, nearly everyone I saw wore a face covering. This situation is many, many times worse. In fact, I saw a few bus drivers not wearing masks yesterday. A message in just to say, I agree with the recent caller, says Richard in Onken. We've got 506 cases. I think the borders should be closed to all unnecessary travel until the situation's under control. Close the borders. Go back to where we were during the first lockdown. A message in about the duck, by the way. This is John who dropped me a note just to say, apparently it wasn't a dog. Cats can do this as well, as are all cats should carry bells on their neck by law, says John. Steam packet staff are allowed to go into the community with no restrictions, says John. Chief Minister didn't seem aware that the steam packet has English staff working on the boat as well. Another one about the duck on the Claddock. This is Peter said, the duck was taken down by a sparrow hawk, not a dog. We saw it.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or you can call on 66 1368.
You can only remove all restrictions when it is prudent to do so.
That's the Chief Minister.
Public health and clinical advice.
That's the Chief Minister. We can only remove all restrictions when it is right to do so.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
It's all about mum this weekend. And here on The Nation Station, we've teamed up with Finest.im and Hotel Halvard so you can give her a real treat. Dinner for two in Halvard's restaurant Leverkin, with a bottle of champagne to make it really special. followed by an overnight stay in a family suite with a sea view and breakfast in the morning. Look out for the photo clues on Facebook and be listening this weekend for your chance to enter by identifying a famous celebrity mum, with the draw live on Monday's breakfast show. Spoil your mum with Manx Radio's Mothering Sunday winning weekend in association with Halvard Hotel and Finest.im, celebrating and supporting local business.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. Thanks for joining today. Malcolm's note in says, Andy, my wife and I received our invitation letters on Monday, tried to register online, but the system wouldn't let us do it. So we couldn't get beyond the first question. We tried telephoning. We were 26th in the queue. We got to, after about 20 minutes, we got through. We registered and were both asked whether we were also available at short notice, to which we said yes. This morning, the home vaccination team turned up unexpectedly, and they realised we weren't housebound and said that there must have been a mistake during the registration process. I just hope we're not marked down as having refused the injections. Well, why didn't they just give it you anyway while you were there? If they're going to charge electric vehicles £50 road tax, does that include electric bikes or actually all bicycles that use the road? Perhaps paying a tax, says Di. Maybe the government should publish the instructions to the steam packet so we can decide who was at fault, says Roz. Or maybe the government will publish that report that was produced. So, presumably it will appear at some time as well. I think it's crazy to hear people phoning in, says Dee, complaining they're asked to pay for the roads, and in the next breath complain there's no money for the roads as well. Jeff said, Andy, I'm listening in disbelief to this vaccination notification fiasco. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about when you start going on about spam. Not all of us are technically savvy. I fear I may just miss my turn. Peter's with us on The Man in Line. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Hello.
You're live on the air, Peter.
Hello. All the chat at the moment has been about why the civic community sites aren't open. One thing that's important is that the government's saying to people, don't do non-essential journeys. Now, taking an old television or an old piece of wood that you've got in your garage to a civic community site cannot surely be classed in any way as an essential journey.
In isolation, yes, but why are people now fly-tipping then?
Because these people are criminals and they'll do it anyhow. They need to be prosecuted and prosecuted heavily.
How much do you think that you should fine any fly-tipper then, Peter?
There's set fines for it. I believe the region of £2,500 is a fine for fly-tipping at the moment. And fly-tipping doesn't just happen in the countryside. I know all over Douglas, you know, there's at least 10, 15 examples every week.
Are you in this professionally, Peter?
I've got my father works in it.
Okay, I'm just wondering as well, because I know some people who put skips out get really, really miffed about the fact stuff gets just lobbed in them as well.
I agree, you know, that's wrong. But, I mean, my only thing I've held up to say is that taking something to the civic community site, 90% of the cases, in fact, probably 95% of the cases, is not an essential journey. And we've got to keep ourselves safe.
Okay, but can you just accept, the fact that people are going to be stuck in for 3 weeks or so, maybe more than that, and a lot of what people may do is start tidying the house up. They may start putting stuff together. So what are we saying? Don't tidy it or just put it somewhere else around the house?
If they choose to carry out a task, they've got to make ways of putting it away. They put it in the bin or they store it. You know, that's their choice, but putting other people at risk and the site staff at risk by making a non-essential journey, I don't believe is acceptable.
Okay. All right. Well, I accept that. Thanks for calling us today. And Bill. Hello, Bill.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy.
Okay. What's on your mind, Bill?
Well, it's a very quick one, but 2 weeks ago, we got the invitation to go for the jabs. We got through, no problem, sorted it all out. Monday just gone, we got a phone call from the COVID team to say, could we make this come in Saturday? And we said yes. We've been given the dates for the first jab and the date for the second jab. And lo and behold, this morning, I got the wife and I got letters to say, would we like, it was the invitation again, would we like to, you know, register? So I contacted them, took a little bit of time to get through, but I understand that. And I spoke to a young lady who was very helpful, and she checked through everything. And actually, we are registered and have our dates. But I can't understand why they're sending out the same letter again. And please don't blame the postman. It's not their fault. Again, you know, have the government and the DHSC got it right? Are they not checking that they're not duplicating things?
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling us today, Bill. A note in from Steve who just said, my wife received her first letter to register for a vaccine, but she's already had a first vaccine 2 weeks ago with a second vaccine scheduled for the 26th of March. Waste of time and money sending this out. How many others have been sent like this? It's like the Reader's Digest, isn't it? Frank on the man in line. Hello, Frank.
Hi. How are you doing? All right.
Well, I'm really happy today. Thank you.
Good. I'd like to agree with the gentleman that was on about the fly tippers. They are criminals. They're disgusting what they're doing. They're destroying wildlife and everything else. And I think the fine for them should be £10,000 if they get caught.
Well, presumably it's quite easy to trace some of this stuff, particularly if it's building rubbish, because they can trace back to, you know, where it's come from, surely.
Yes, but I think the government don't persecute these people enough. They don't track them down enough. I think it's terrible what's happening, and there's a lot of fly tipping going on.
Whereabouts have you seen it?
I've seen it on Ballinard Road. I can't remember the other roads, but I've seen it driving around. There's something I wanted to say to you, what people are like. And it's not everybody, but it just shows what some people like. Something happened to me yesterday. I'm a registered disabled person, and I'm near 85. And I can't walk, not very well, and I have to have a trolley to walk with. And I was going around ShopRite, getting our food in, because we're in isolation, and I'm the one that has to go out and get the food. And the basket that you put the food in, it fell off the trolley, and it hit me hard, because it had quite a bit of food in, and it knocked me over. And I was on the floor, and the food that I had was scattered about. And this man came, and he walked straight past me. Never said anything, never did anything to help me.
And when was this, Frank?
Yesterday.
And which ShopRite?
And Ramsey.
The one at Bowring Road or at St Paul's Square?
Bowring Road.
Right.
The big one. And then what I did, I shouted at him and I called him a bee. And he turned round and then came back to help me. But he actually walked straight past me and took no notice. That's to prove what some people are like. And being disabled, and other disabled people will tell you the same, you get treated as though you're a piece of dirt on the floor sometimes with people. I've been spit at. I've been cursed. Shouldn't be here, I'm a burden.
Well, you know, burden to me, Frank. You can always come on the man in line.
No, I know that. I just wanted to let you know that some people are not decent.
All right. Frank, disturbing tale. And £10,000 fines, we reckon. This is Ken now. Hello, Ken.
Afternoon to you. I've just read the 32-page exit framework document produced by the Council of Ministers. I haven't read it. I just flipped through it. But all you have to do is turn to the last page, the conclusion. It says, the high-level approach is intended to provide the current assumptions for exit from this challenging period in our history. There'll be obstacles to overcome, there's an argument to say that with such unknown, producing such an approach is premature. But the council ministers, wait for it, say they're looking forward and we might have to revise our approach. But they're providing hope and caution, optimism, but also a realistic assessment of the way forward. And the council ministers will review the position each month and issue regular updates on our journey forward. It's 32 pages of saying a lot without telling you anything.
I was trying to battle my way through that, and there are so many milestones here, there and everywhere, and, as you say, going forward and this, that and the other. I'll be honest with you, if you got through 30 umpteen pages, you're better than I.
Well, I didn't read it all, but it did give you the UK approach, you see, about the schools opening on the 8th, and there's a lot of waffle about, you know, what the, I know they're a close neighbour, but I do wonder.
All right, thanks for being with us today.
Cheers.
Thank you, Ken, and David's with us now on The Man in Line. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. It's just like waiting for a doctor to call. Listen, Andy, I just want to say a quick thing and a thank you on this miserable day to do with Onchan Football Club. And I want to put an appeal out there to the people who supported us on the Just Giving page and sent money to me and to our friends that we made the target. We made over the target.
Oh, for the toilets?
Yeah. And we're potentially going to put CCTV in as well, because if you don't do something else to protect something, it's a sad world we live in, but we have to do something to protect our investment for the future. But I just want to put the appeal out to the listeners, and Manx Radio was a good tool for doing that, is to say thank you for all those people who put money through the door, went to our Just Giving page, and we'll be, when we're out of lockdown, because we've got to wait now to order stuff and get stuff back into action. And it's just great to see how the Isle of Man pulls together when it needs to.
David, who did it?
Who did it?
Yeah.
Oh, the people who did the criminal damage?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure, but we have leads. Now, the police have leads, and hopefully, that some individual will confess and say, it'd be nice to say if somebody rang me up or rang Manx Radio up anonymously and said he was sorry. I'd really accept that as the president of the club. But in this day and age, what we've got to try and do is we've got to tell I presume it's a young individual that's done it, or juvenile or whatever, is that if he does that in the future, he's not just hurting me personally, he's hurting the whole club, he's hurting the community. And as he gets older, you have to watch out, because you go to court and then it's jail. And then you get a record.
Okay. Well, we're happy about the toilets, David. I'm glad to hear that. And as well, presumably there'll be a ribbon cutting at some point, will there?
Well, we're just wondering who the dignitary would be is to cut the... Well, it'll have to be a blue ribbon, because I'm an Everton supporter. All right.
Thank you. Thanks, David. Oh, good to hear. That's great to hear. It's 5-1 now. Tommy's back with us. Hello, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I'm just saying to Barry, I feel ashamed to be a human being after listening to Frank's story, Andy. You know, what he had to endure down at the shop right in Ramsey.
That was very disturbing.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't happen in the store just up the road down here. I can guarantee that. There would have been somebody over the staff or all over the family that had gone to his aid straight away, Andy. And that's all what they say, Andy. It's made me feel very, very humble, Andy, that I can get about.
And the thing is, you just wonder what's in that person's mind, really.
Well, was he frightened? I mean, presumably, you've got to wear the face covering to go in the ShopRite stores, Andy, so he wasn't in peril of any kind. And he did eventually come back, so I just can't understand humans. We're the worst animal species on the planet, Andy, and that's the truth.
Okay, all right, it's good to talk to you, Tommy. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye. All right, on The Man in Line, if you refuse your jab, you shouldn't be allowed to go away, says this correspondent, and somebody must recognise the stuff that has been fly-tipped. There's always something in the rubbish that somebody will recognise. Find it, identify it, fine them heavily. How did the fly tippers manage to drive and dump the stuff way past a padlock gate at Erie Cushlin, asks Andy as well. Following Roger's call, I got my vaccination invite on Monday, used the internet registration, easy, got a confirmation, then an email about how I wanted later contact. I found the service absolutely brilliant. And that's what I want to stress, is that lots of people do phone and say this has gone wrong and that's gone wrong. And I think we're all accepting that is the tip of a very highly functionable iceberg, in that most of the stuff happens absolutely terrifically and in good order. There will be exceptions, always will be exceptions. So let's keep our fingers crossed that we get through all this, that the vaccination happens, and that we can get through to September. September, I can't get optimistic about when every time people say September, can you? It just seems an awful long way away. Let's just hope that we're going to have the agricultural shows this year. Please, don't cancel the agricultural shows. A note in just to say, this is what happens when governments around the world make out that the virus will kill you when in the majority will recover fine. So that's what happens. The vast majority of people will be absolutely fine. That's it for the Man in Line today. Thanks to studio producer Barry Redford. I'm Andy Wint, and we're going to be back tomorrow, 12 midday on Manx Radio. If you want to get in touch, out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Call 682-631 for the answer phone. Love to hear from you. Just been to Chester Street, says this correspondent. Had my first vaccination. Very efficient. Full marks to all the staff at Chester Street. Stick around for late lunch on Manx Radio. Alex in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'll be back at 5:30 with all the Manx news on update. Stay safe. Stay at home. WINT.